Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. Then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You've all likely heard our gospel text before. And for this next year, we will be using the gospel texts instead of the epistle, as we've been doing. And you might have actually heard this one so many times that you feel like there's nothing left to hear. Like you have learned all that you possibly can from this section of Scripture. Like you have exhausted Scripture on this topic. Recognize the inherent arrogance of that thought. To think that we can ever stop learning from the Word of God, even just one section of it. Also recognize the complacency in that thought, which can get so extreme that we resist hearing a story from the Bible more than once a year. But perhaps most importantly of all, when you or I think that we can hear too much scripture. We need to recognize the sin in that thought. The sinful desire of our human nature, which is always, always trying to drag us away from the very word of God that tells us of how our Lord saved us from the very sin that is dragging us away from his word. So, as you listen to this telling again, and hear about the coming of our Lord into Jerusalem the Sunday before he was crucified, listen carefully. Listen carefully, even though you've heard this story before. Even though you will hear this story again. Listen and hear the word of God that is being spoken to you this day. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Sometimes, people think that it was actually easier for those who could see Jesus, that they somehow had an advantage over us because they could see the man with their very own eyes. However, the truth is a very different thing. For instance, remember that the very same crowds that are singing Jesus' praises in our reading for today will be calling for his crucifixion in just 5 short days. But why? How could they go from being so excited and happy to see him coming into Jerusalem on a donkey and then cry out for his murder less than a week later? What changed? What happened? Well, to put it simply, Jesus wasn't the Savior they were looking for. They thought that Jesus was coming into the city in order to throw down the Roman government, to kick out Pilate and his legionnaires, and to establish Israel as a free nation under its own authority once again. But what does Jesus do? What is his first act as the crowds follow him after singing his praises? He goes to the temple. Not to the palace. Not to the barracks. To the temple. And then he starts flipping tables. He kicks out all of the people who were selling animals on the grounds of the temple. And he starts welcoming into the temple the unclean and the sick and even children into the temple and starts healing them. And then, after that, nothing. No rebellion, no overthrowing of the Romans, nothing. He just sits around and teaches. He doesn't do anything. How easy it is for us to fall into the same trap that the city of Jerusalem fell into during Holy Week. How easy it is for us to forget what it is that we actually need saving from. How easy it is for us to reject the one whom he has sent to us, the one who has come to be in our presence and to teach us, the one who has even died for us. Today, the first Sunday in Advent, is about teaching us why we should be preparing ourselves to receive the Lord who is coming. The righteous branch from Jeremiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us salvation in the armor of light, the King of glory, who is coming to us humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This is the Lord who is coming to save us. But what is he coming to save us from? Is he coming to finally free the world from evil? Is he coming to overthrow all of the evil politicians that are ruling our country? Maybe he's coming to get rid of that annoying person who just won't realize that he's wrong and that I'm right. Or maybe he's coming to you to call you to repentance, to overthrow the tables in your temple, and to point out your sin to you. Maybe he's coming to show you that you need the forgiveness that he earned for you on the cross. The people who were praising Jesus as he entered Jerusalem thought that their biggest problem was all of the people who were wronging them. The people who were oppressing them and trampling them down under their boots. And it's easy for us to think the same thing. To think that our biggest problems are the people who are getting in our way, people who are wronging us. That if only we could get rid of all of the people who are against me, then everything would be fine. But the truth for us is the very same truth for the people of Jerusalem. Sure, the Romans were taxing them. Yes, you could even say that they were being oppressed in some ways. Life was certainly not easy for them, and Rome didn't really care. But that wasn't their biggest problem, and neither is it ours. The Jews' biggest problem, and our biggest problem, is sin. Sure, the Romans could have killed them all and taken all their money, or they could have hurt and even tortured them. But the Romans couldn't have done anything to them after they're dead. The same is true for us. No matter who or what you're struggling with, nothing is as dangerous to you as your sin. And not other people's sin, your sin. Your sin is not just the reason that you will die in this world, though it is that, but it's also the reason that you and I and that every other person in this world deserves to be punished in hell for all of eternity. That's how bad your sin is. How bad my sin is. How bad everyone's sin is for themselves. And God knew that. God knew that if he didn't do something, that we would end up rotting in hell because of our sin. He knew this from the very beginning, and so he did something about it. He made a plan. A plan that required that he make the greatest sacrifice that a father can make. That he send his own son to take the punishment in our place. That's why Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that day. And that's why he comes into your lives in the Word, to tell you of what he accomplished 2,000 years ago, to tell you the end of the story, to tell you that Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, died one of the most wretched and horrible deaths possible in order to save you from your sins. To tell you that because of his sacrifice, you no longer have to fear hell. To tell you of the empty tomb on that Sunday morning, which shows you that one day your tomb will be emptied. And to tell you that yet again, Jesus is on his way. And that this time, he does come to free you from this world of darkness and oppression. To tell you that your eternity is prepared for you. An eternity full of light and joy and peace. And most importantly of all, full of Christ. The one who accomplished all of this for you. This is what Advent is meant to prepare us for. For the arrival of our King who was slain. So I suppose then the question is this. Are you going to be like the people of Jerusalem, who welcomed him joyfully initially, only to despise him and his teachings only days later? Or are you going to take advantage of all the various gifts that he has given you? The gift of a place to come and hear his word and to receive his sacrament. The gift of being able to pray to the God who created you and who listens to your every thought. The gift of the Spirit, who through your baptism and through the word strengthens your faith and sustains you every day of your lives. The gift of a congregation of fellow saints to join together with in your preparations? Or are you just going to be bored because you've already heard this story? You are free to choose, and I pray you choose wisely. Because the Lord is on his way, and he could arrive at any moment. The Lord, who has already sacrificed so much for you, and who has given you what you need in order to be ready for his arrival. The one who has saved us from our sin, and who will one day come to free us from our sin forever. But if you hold on to that sin, if you continue to cling so desperately to that darkness inside of you, you might find that you reject Jesus when he comes because he is not giving you what you think you want. Jesus is coming. And with him, he is bringing the eternal life that he so desperately wants to give to us. An eternal life that will be free from the sin that we want to cling to and that has corrupted this whole world and allow death to enter into it. An eternal life at his side that you are free to start preparing yourselves for right now. thanks be to God that he has promised to help us prepare ourselves. As if it weren't enough that he died for us, he continues to stay with us and continues to work on us, helping us to recognize our sin and giving us the forgiveness that he has earned for us over and over and over again. No matter how many times we need it. May God continue to send us his good gifts in order to continue strengthening us, that we might be prepared to receive the life he comes to give to us. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.